There are two people who are single-handedly helping the Hoosier economy turn around. Richard Murdoch won't admit that all of his friends and his buddies, the Koch brothers and what have you, bringing their money in is helping the turn the Hoosier economy around. But Joe Donnelly is helping it. This is the hottest. This may be the third hottest Senate race in the country after Massachusetts with Mrs. Warren and Senator Brown, and the one in Missouri with Senator McCaskill and that crazy person that's running against her. But Indiana is getting a lot of attention from across the country as the race is close, and Joe Donnelly has an opportunity to bring that Senate seat back to the Democrats, and Joe Donnelly joins me live. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me with you. I apologize. I have a little bit of a cold today.
So you've been out. The weather's changing.
I have. I've been all over the state from end to end. I've been blessed to have a chance to be with you for well over a year now on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And so when you and I talked and, you know, I said, look, keep an eye on this Senate race. Not a lot of people did, but you were kind enough to do so. And here we are.
So now this thing is hot. Is it really that hot out on the campaign trail? Are people sensing this? Because in order for you to have a chance, there's got to be a lot of scratching, a lot of ticket splitting on election day.
Well, you know what you're sensing is a chance to have someone who's very much in the tradition of Senator By and Senator Lugar. And Nat Amos, as you well know, is just trying to do what's right for our state, staying focused on making our country grow, create jobs, leave the crazy partisanship to other people, that Indiana's senators are folks who are workhorses and not show horses. That's what I continue to bring in the Senate race.
You have prided yourself on the ads that your campaign is responsible for. Now, there's all these other groups that you don't know what they're going to do till all of a sudden you look on television and you're going, why are they doing that? You have prided yourself on your bringing the message directly. It's not just I'm Joe Donnelly and I approve this message. You're carrying the message. Your opponent isn't. How important is that for Hoosiers to see the people that want their vote, to talk to them directly?
Well, I want to look them in the eye and say, here's who I am. Mm-hmm. Here's what I believe, and I'd like your vote. And I think that's critical because, you know, here in Indiana, we want to hear what people think. We want to look them in the eye. We want to talk to them. That's how I have campaigned, is by going to diners and restaurants and county fairs and having a chance to shake an awful lot of hands. And, you know, that's what we've done right from the start.
Sometimes when a race is close, were you surprised that your opponent now has you? No, I don't know if it's his spot or it's one of these third party people got you driving off a ditch and you're following Nancy Pelosi and the president and you're in a cornfield somewhere, which sounds like insulting to the corn farmers of Indiana. But is that a sense that you're getting to him?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's an indication that, nothing else he's trying is working. Mm-hmm. And so it's back to the old standards of attacking the president. And, you know, they do this time after time after time, since it's very much that Mr. Murdoch has nothing he can stand for other than partisanship and division. So he just has turned to the standard politics of attack.
There are probably people listening. People are now really starting to dial into this election. Obviously, tonight, a lot of folks are going to be watching because it's on, the debate's on every, you know, major network, plus C-SPAN, plus public broadcasting. There may be people listening to you right now that have seen the ads. They say, but, well, I don't know. Yeah, I know he's a Democrat, but, you know, he's kind of different. You know, make the case. Why should African Americans are listening to you and maybe sitting on the fence? They're part of that 15-20% African American undecided that all of the polls in the Senate race have said consistently over the last year. Why give a reason why they ought to get from uncommitted to committed?
It comes down to a question of who'll fight for you, who'll stand for our values, who will work hard to make sure that we have a shot at a good job, at a good education, that our kids have the chance to go to good schools, that we have the chance to get a decent job, that mom and dad can then come home and look and say, you know what, we have a steady enough job that we can go out and buy a house, that we can retire with dignity. I have said from the start, Mr. Murdoch is about partisan politics, is about Tea Party politics, has said publicly that he has never taken a pledge to protect every job in Indiana. And I've said, I'll walk from Lake Michigan to the Ohio River if it'll help me find 10 more jobs. I have served with Andre Carson, have worked very closely with him on issue after issue. And our focus, both of us, has been on how can we make the lives of Hoosiers just a little bit better and make our country a little stronger.
There are some people that may have said, well, wait a minute now. You know, I see this Joe Donnelly guy, and he's a Democrat. The president is a Democrat. But, you know, he's kind of gone against the president on a couple of things. Is it that he doesn't like the president? Is it that he's not a real Democrat? Hey, I'm, they're thinking, hey, we're for Barack Obama all the way down the line. You know, when the chips get down, is Joe Donnelly going to abandon his president?
Well, I have been with the president every time I think he's right. And my obligation, I serve with the president and respect him. I served with President Bush and respected him. And my first obligation is to Hoosiers and to this country. And so I thought that, you know, the president has been right on a number of bills, and I voted with him on those. And on some, I didn't agree with him. But the important thing is I'm there to represent Hoosiers. And we have seen relentless, nonstop attacks on the president by Mr. Murdoch and his friends. Has treated him with less than the dignity that the office should enable the president to have. And, you know, time after time, we've seen attack ads that said, well, Joe Donnelly has been too close to Barack Obama. Well, you know what? I'm honored to serve with Barack Obama. I'm honored to serve with President Bush when he served. And when they are right, I will work with them on the bills that they brought forward, that President Bush brought forward, and that President Obama has brought forward. And so that's what I'm supposed to do as a legislator.
Let me go to Billy at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon, Mr. Donnelly.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Donnelly, as I have heard just today over this radio program about them removing the bench from off of Georgia Street, and as I reflect how nationally the Democratic Party nationally has made a fuss about Mitt Romney, 47% of America that he don't care about. And these 47%, as we have seen flash across the screen, TV screen, is veteran, you know, distant cousins. They're just mom and dads. They are just ordinary Americans living in America, where in the city of Indianapolis, they remove a bench. But we send America the fight over in Afghanistan, over to bring democracy to Iraq. And I think back years ago over in Vietnam for what in the hell we were fighting for over there, I never know, you know, at the age of 51. But to hear today in 2012, on October the 3rd, that the city of Indianapolis have picked up these benches where Americans cannot sit freely, take their seat, their rightful place in this country. When will you stand up and tell the city of Indianapolis to put those benches back, because Americans have the right to sit down in this country freely?
And I think he was talking about these benches down on Georgia Street that had been removed because people are shocked that homeless people are sitting down on a bench. And I can't even remember whether there was federal funds used in fixing up Georgia Street. I think he raised the larger right. question of the 47% that allegedly don't pay income taxes, and a lot of those are hardworking veterans, hardworking folks, our seniors.
Well, if you look at the 47% that Mitt Romney referred to, when you break that down, a large portion of that are seniors who are on Social Security, who have worked their entire lives, and who we honor and who we respect, and who very often are our parents, and how proud we are of them. Another group of those folks are folks who are working every day and receive what's called the Earned Income Tax Credit that enables them to be in a position where instead of having to be on assistance, They go to work every day.
I think that was something Richard Nixon came up with.
That's exactly right. This is a Republican.
Great Republican.
This is a Republican designed program, and a program I support to provide the opportunity for people to go out and go to work, keep more of their money in their pocket. And these are people, Amos, who they are us, that every day we go to work and we dream, you know, I work here. Maybe next year I can get a promotion. Maybe the year after I can get another promotion. Maybe someday I can be on the management team. The first paycheck I ever got was for $49, and that probably would have landed me in the 47% group at that time. But you know what? I had big dreams and wanted to work hard, and was very proud of my paycheck.
Let me go to Charles at 239-1310. Hi there, Charles.
Hello.
Yes, hello. You're on the air.
Okay,
Charles.
Yes.
You got to come on. I got too many people waiting.
This is Charles. I had a question. You had asked. He was talking about President Obama and referring to. Talking about the respect that he's not getting, and I just noticed that when he was referring to President Obama and ex-President Bush, he just kept giving President Bush his respect and referring to him as president, and President Obama just as Obama. And I just was wondering, where's the respect from him to give him his title when he didn't even call him president until his last statement? And I feel like somebody was telling him to say president.
Well, being in the studio with him, nobody was doing that. But Joe Donnelly, there is a sense in the African-American community that when people, doesn't matter who it is, just say Obama and not put the honorific either president or mister, which is the other correct honorific, that's not showing respect.
I apologize if I didn't say President Obama. I certainly meant President Obama. Like I said, I served with President Bush. I served with President Obama. I respect the presidents, and I certainly respect President Obama, who I work with on a regular basis right now.
Let me go to William at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
I'm going to make this quick for Mr. O'Donnell. And Mr. O'Donnell, you got my vote. I want to make it plain. But I want to know, what are you going to do? The union, back from the 80s up until the present, have tried desperately to try to stop the outsourcing of jobs from going overseas. And as a result of this outsourcing, the economy of the United States is at an all-time low right now. My question is, what are you going to do working with Andre Carlson and the governor, Joe Gregg, and the rest of the elected officials? What are you going to do working with them to try to stop the job from being outsourced from this state and the rest of the country?
Great question.
Well, I've been one of the original sponsors on a bill that would tackle this head on by forcing us to have tariffs if the Chinese don't value their currency properly. What they do, it's like having two businesses next door to each other on Meridian Street, where their costs are exactly the same, and one company consistently underprices their products just to get the business. That's what China does with their currency. And so when we get the currency valuation fair, which we are working on and which is moving our way every day, and as our educational level increases for all of our workers, we're seeing significant amounts of manufacturing coming back to our state. For years and years and years before, folks – just basically turned their back in the government and let jobs go overseas. I have fought that nonstop and have worked very hard to bring manufacturing back and will continue to do so. A good manufacturing job for a family means a great opportunity for that family to have the American dream come true.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Is back to the phones. And Renee, hi there.
Good afternoon, Mr. Brown and Mr. Donnelly.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'd like to ask you a question. Did you vote to appeal the Health Care Act, and why or why not? And if you did, what would you replace it with? That's all.
Wait a minute. You think? Wait a minute. Somebody said that Joe Donnelly voted to repeal health care reform?
I asked if he did. Did he do that or not?
All right, Joe Donnelly.
I did not. I voted for the health care bill, and I voted for the health care bill because I thought it was critically important that people in our community with lupus, with diabetes, with cancer, could actually get health coverage for the first time, for many people, the first time in their lives. That's what the health care bill did. For our seniors, that they were able to get prescriptions at 50% off, that they could put that extra money in their pocket. For young people between the ages of 21 and 26, that they could stay in their parents' insurance. Those are all really, really good things. Is the health care bill perfect? No. But has it made health care more available? Absolutely. And we'll continue to work on improving it.
Back to the phones and Miles at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Brother Brown, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Mr. Donnelly, how you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
As far as I'm concerned, your apologies are accepted, brother.
Well, thank you.
And look at here. I want to say this to the people. We need this guy here, Joe Donnelly, in the Senate. And we need to turn out and put out support. I'm a retired UAW member, and I know what you're dealing with, and I'm going to support you all out. Trust me.
We fought nonstop.
I shook hands with you down at the IBEW back here out in the parking lot.
We fought nonstop to enable our auto industry to survive. Richard Murdoch.
I know you did.
Richard Murdoch worked single-handedly to try to destroy the American auto industry. And every day we've got over 100,000 Hoosier workers who go to work because they had a chance to see these companies continue. We have retirees who still were able to be treated properly. And Richard Murdoch would have threw the whole thing away. So it's something I have great pride in.
Appreciate it, Miles. Let me go to Robert right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Amos and Mr. Donnelly?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm a strong supporter of you. I understand what you're up against. You're up against some strong financial influences from out of the state. The only thing that I'm mildly upset about was the vote that you voted with Iser in the House of Representatives for the contempt of Congress on the Attorney General. But given what you are up against as the alternative, a person would have to be totally naive not to vote for you, because I followed your record down through the years, and you're pretty consistent. And I can't condemn you for your convictions on an issue that you believe in your heart was the right thing to do, even though I don't agree with it, because Iser in the House of Representatives, he's just on a witch hunt. But I'll be doing all I can within my neighborhood, like I've been doing, to get you elected, because we definitely do not want Murdoch in the Senate. Anytime a man can say my way is the highway, well, that's arrogant. In other words, taking the voters for granted.
All right, I appreciate it. Back to the phones, and I lost my place. Yeah, there's the place. Back to the phones, and Paul, hi there.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
I have a concern about the gentleman just spoke of arrogance. You know, I grew up worked in union shops most of my adult life. And the thing is, it used to talk about the greedy union bosses, fat cat union bosses, this sort of thing. And now we have these lockouts for, like, the NBA last year. It was a lockout. It wasn't the players trying to negotiate for a fair working wage, decent wage, hours, or to share in the wealth that the owners are making. This year's the football players, and then there's the referees, and, yeah, you know, it's just all over the country. And those are just big ones that come out, but the Indianapolis Sympathy Orchestra.
Yep.
But the thing about these business owners are locking people out that want to work. And I have a problem with that. Is there anything that can be addressed to take care of those kind of things? Thank you.
All right, Joe Donnelly.
Well, that would be the collective bargaining process, where they sit down and try to work out an agreement. I think everyone would agree that the most recent situation we saw, the NFL referees, that the quality, the talent of those referees, that they were able to finally get an agreement, and we had wished that it had all happened sooner. But I have always been a supporter of the right to organize. the right to have unions, and that unions have, you know, the old story is, you know, welcome to the weekend. Thank the unions.
Let me go to Johnny, our last caller, with Joe Donnelly.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon,
Joe. I'd like to make you an offer for my vote. That if you would at least tell me that you will look into increasing the funding to the Martin Center here in Indianapolis. They've operated under the same budget for the last 20 years with no increase, and also maybe funding money to them so that they can at least open the laboratory that they used to have.
And that's federal funding for the Martin Center?
Yes, sir.
And the Martin Center deals with the problems of sickle cell and in dealing with that.
Yeah, I will say this. I will work very, very hard to earn your vote with the job I do. And in regards to the Martin Center, one of the first things I will do is speak to Congressman Andre Carson, who is a dear friend of mine, and get all the details, and then try to get out to the Martin Center myself to talk to the people out there as well to understand even more the very many valuable services it provides.
There will be two debates between you and your Republican opponent, Richard Murdoch, and the Libertarian opponent, Andrew Horning.
Andrew Horning, yes.
Y'all, you getting ready?
I am.
Do you have stand-ins to represent them?
Well, we work hard every day, and when Cam and I are traveling around the state together, he fires off questions at me, and so we're ready to go.
I don't think you and Mr. Murdoch and Mr. Horning realize that the two Senate debates, which one is the 15th, as I remember, of October.
That's right, and the other's the 23rd.
One in the Senate here in Indianapolis and the other in the southern part of the state, that these two will be moderated by African-Americans, one by Mr. Mizell, who's African-American, who used to run the Evansville newspaper, the Evansville Courier.
Okay.
And Erica Fly from Channel 6 will be moderating the other. And that's two African Americans moderating statewide debates. And the one tonight nationally doesn't have any. See the progress you're bringing?
Well, I will tell you this. In Indiana, we all work hard. We all work together to build a greater state. And we are all one.
And every vote is going to count. If people want more information about your campaign, maybe they need a yard sign. Maybe they want to help out. Maybe they want to help you drive the car straight and narrow. How are they going to get a hold of you?
We can. We'd love to hear from everybody. Just give us a call at 317-231-7108.
All right. Joe Donnelly, the Democratic candidate for the United States Senate.